Imagine uncovering the secrets that others missed. A hidden clue, a silent witness, a twist that changes everything. I'm Carter Roy, host of Murder True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Join me every Tuesday as we dive into a famous solved or unsolved murder case. Follow and listen to Murder True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
From KNX News 97.1 FM,
this is Countdown 2024.
Here are Charles Feldman and Margaret Carrero.
Well, 56 days till Trump Day, when Donald Trump becomes president again. On today's Countdown 2024, Democrats can't afford to spend too much time licking their wounds after losing to Trump, as the president-elect is wasting no time putting together a cabinet and enacting a sweeping agenda. So we will talk with an influential pair of Democrats, a former U.S. Labor Secretary and the former co-chair of the Harris-Walz campaign, about what went wrong and where they go from here. But first, this.
President-elect Trump can rest a little easier now that his legal calendar is suddenly free and clear. Special counsel Jack Smith took formal steps today to end both federal cases against Trump, stemming from his conduct when he was first occupying the White House. With Justice Department policy prohibiting the prosecution of a sitting president, Smith filed motions to wind down one case against Trump for seeking to subvert the 2020 election and the other for hoarding classified documents at his Mar-a-Lago estate. But the special counsel left open the possibility that the Justice Department might resurrect the charges after Trump finishes his second presidential term.
Now, the Trump administration's incoming border czar, Tom Homan, has threatened funding for states that refuse to cooperate in the federal government's deportation plans. Homan says federal funding of all kinds should be slashed hugely, his words, to Democratic-led states that refuse to cooperate with the deportations. Now, backing that up, the new Trump White House press secretary says the administration will marshal every federal and state power necessary to institute the largest deportation operation in history.
California is prepared to step in with consumer rebates for electric vehicle purchases if the Trump administration, as expected, kills off the federal subsidy. Governor Gavin Newsom announced today that he is ready to pull money from the state's carbon cap and trade market to offer consumers the $7,500 in rebates that was being offered by the federal government. Newsom did not provide details about how a new EV state rebate program would work, but he would likely need approval by the legislature to create a new fund.
The internal debate among Democrats about how the party seemingly lost touch with working-class voters, whether they were white, black, Latino, or Asian, started almost immediately after Kamala Harris's loss was certified. It is clear the party has its work cut out for it. Robert Reich served as U.S. Labor Secretary under Bill Clinton. He also served in roles in the Ford, Carter, and Obama administrations. Robert, nice to talk to you again.
Hi, Charles. How are you?
Good. So let's go forward, because we've had a lot of looking back the past few weeks. What do the Democrats have to do to win back those groups who turned sour on the Democrats and decided to cast their ballot either for Trump or sit it out?
Charles, it's easy to say, very hard to do. The Democrats need to once again become the champions of working class America, people who have not had a college degree, who really have not done very well over the last four decades. If you look at their inflation-adjusted incomes, almost no gains at all over the last four decades. That means a paid family leave. It means giving people access to community colleges much, much more easily than now. It means that people ought to have a public health care option. They should. In other words, there are a lot of things that people need, average working people need, and they don't have. And Democrats ought to make sure that they do.
And they need to speak it more articulately, don't they, to the American people?
Yeah, absolutely, Margaret. I mean, the problem is the Democrats, for some reason, and we can talk about this, seem to have lost the ability to connect with average working people. Now, Donald Trump does this, I think, quite well, although he lies a lot. And I'm not urging Democrats to lie. In fact, I think it's just the opposite. Democrats have got to be authentic and connect with people and express their connection and talk about the real things that people are worried about. That is food prices and housing prices and the prices of healthcare and going to college and all the other things that are basically called kitchen table economics.
I've heard two different thoughts on going forward, Robert, and they go like this. The one thought is that what Democrats should do now is fight, 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 do everything in their power to thwart the Trump administration. The other thought was the Democrats should basically sit back, let Trump, in their view, do his worst, and hope that that brings people back into the Democratic fold. Now, that, granted, that's pretty Machiavellian, but do you think that that is the better option than the one of fight, fight, fight?
Well, it depends on what Democrats are seen to be fighting for. I think it's very important when, for example, Donald Trump, as he is expected to do, proposes new tax cuts for the wealthy, an extension of his 2017 tax cut that went almost entirely to big corporations and very wealthy people. Democrats should say no. That's going to explode the budget deficit. It doesn't go to average working people. It's going to make it very much harder to have anything that helps average people. I think fighting on behalf of average working people is what Democrats need to be seen doing.
We are speaking with Robert Reich, former U.S. Labor Secretary under Bill Clinton. Let's talk a little bit about populism, right? We kind of know what Trump populism looks like, the promise of lots of tax cuts for just about every segment of the American economy, mass deportations of illegal immigrants, kind of this general anti-elitism. What, in your view, would ideal democratic populism look like in action?
Well, it would take on corporations and corporate power, Margaret. It would enable people to see that one of the problems they have with prices, and the reason prices are still stuck very high, is you've got a handful of very big corporations that have monopolized a lot of markets. Democrats also ought to explain to people that a lot of big companies and a lot of wealthy people have very cozy relationships with government. They have subsidies, and they were bailed out when the big banks, remember, got in trouble in 2008. This is rigging the system on behalf of the wealthy and big corporations. It's got to end if the system has to work for average people. And I think Democrats need to point this out.
Let's talk for a minute about this whole deportation thing. We hear, of course, a lot about the Trump plan to deport just about everybody in the country who is here illegally. What you don't hear is any talk about why not just fine employers who hire people who are in the country without proper documentation. Wouldn't that be far easier and maybe less disruptive?
I think you're exactly right, Charles. It's going to be totally disruptive. I mean, can you imagine how federal agents, whether they're military or National Guard, go around to every community, knocking on doors, examining whether people have their papers? I mean, most of us don't have our papers with us, don't have passports. We, you know, how many people can actually prove they're American citizens if somebody knocks on the door? The problem there is people are going to be so fearful and so anxious going forward that it's going to just make life very, very difficult in America. Why not, as you said, go after the employers who are illegally hiring undocumented people and taking advantage in many instances of these undocumented people?
Moving on to something different now, Trump's cabinet picks. In a recent social media post, you wrote, Trump wants to deflect our attention while he and his fellow billionaires loot America. Why do you say that?
Because Elon Musk, the richest person in the world, is given the responsibility by Donald Trump of finding so-called efficiencies. Now, if you think that it's easy to cut $2 trillion out of the budget without affecting Social Security or Medicare or Medicaid, you're a magician. I've been around a lot of these so-called efficiency commissions, and they can't because they don't want to cut military spending. I wish they did. I think there's a lot of bloat there. And so they are almost of necessity forced to focus on Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security. And that's not fair. I mean, most of us have paid in to Medicare and Medicare and Social Security. And most of us need Medicaid. And it's going to hurt people once again.
Do you think, Robert, that the T on the back of Tesla stands for Trump?
I never thought about it, but it would be a little bit forward thinking. I've never met Elon Musk. I don't know anything about him, but I do know that he is going to be a non-government worker. He's not going to be confirmed by the Senate. He's going to provide advice to Trump, but that advice is going to find its way somehow into legislation. In other words, what we are going to be subjected to are the, in essence, the whims of somebody who took what was a company called, you remember, Twitter, and basically cut 80% of the staff and made it into a weaponized disinformation machine.
Robert Reich, former U.S. Labor Secretary under Bill Clinton, thank you so much for your time today.
Well, thank you, Margaret. And Charles, thank you.
Beleaguered Democrats in Congress looking for a new resistance playbook against the Trump administration. We will talk with one of the Congress members next.
It's Countdown 2024
on KNX News 97.1 FM. This is Countdown 2024
on KNX News 97.1 FM.
Welcome back. Along with Charles Feldman, I'm Margaret Carrero. Democrats have had an early taste of what is in store for the second Trump administration as the president-elect has put up one controversial cabinet nominee after another. But 2024 is not 2016, and the same resistance tactics that Democrats used to slow down the Trump agenda in his first term likely won't work this time.
Meantime, the tough postmortem of Kamala Harris's loss continues, and a sense of shock remains palatable for Democrats over the fact that not only did they lose to Trump again, but they even lost the popular vote this time. Robert Garcia is a Democratic congressman representing California's 42nd district. He also served as the mayor of Long Beach, and before the election, he was national co-chair of the Harris-Walz campaign. Congressman, thanks for being with us.
Sure thing. Happy to be here.
So not only was this, of course, a loss for Kamala Harris, but the Democrats really took a beating on this one. No matter how you look at the numbers, it was just all around pretty much bad for the Democrats, the Democratic Party. So where is the party going and how fast can it get there?
Yeah, I mean, I think a couple of things are important. I mean, first, I think Democrats recognize, and we all should, that we lost the election, lost the presidency, certainly didn't win the House, and the Senate obviously is going to go into the Republican column. So I think it's important to acknowledge that there was a loss, and certainly that it attributes in large part to messaging, making sure that we are being very clear that we are the party of working people, of working class people, always have been. And that's something that did not obviously cut through the way it should have. At the same time, where people communicate, and this is something I've been talking about since I got to Congress now 2 years ago, where people communicate and are getting their information has dramatically changed in this country. And people need to listen to younger folks in this country that are getting their information from different places.
But at the same time,
I want to make one thing which I think is really an important point. Donald Trump won and is going to end up with about 49.5% of the total vote. Kamala Harris is going to end up somewhere about 48% of the total vote when it comes to the election. So this idea that somehow there was a complete red wave wipeout on the presidency, and he's basically going to win with one of the smallest margins of the modern era. And so Kamala Harris won 48% of the vote. That is not insignificant.
No,
so yes,
it's not,
we're closely divided country. And we've got to move forward.
But at the end of the day, a loss is still a loss.
A loss is a loss, 100%.
Right. And so my question to you, though, is that why do you think that, in particular, maybe young people are not looking at the Democratic Party anymore as the party that represents the working class folks? What went wrong there? Is it just messaging, or is it that the party's not offering them what they want?
Well, I think it's a couple of things. I think one is we have to as a party continue to double down on what working class people care about, and that is ensuring that taxes aren't going to the ultra rich, that we're taking on large corporations, that unions are being supported, that young people have access to buying a home at some point in their life, that they have access to paying for the groceries. These table issues, kitchen issues, things that people are talking about at home is something that did not break through. Now, I have to give the Vice President Harris in 100 days, I think, ran a great campaign. very tough election, obviously, in a closely divided country. But Democrats have to do a better job of leaning into what makes this party a party of working class people. And the second part, and as important, like I mentioned before, people aren't just listening to the radio and watching cable TV to get their news and information anymore. And we all know this. They're on podcasts, they're in digital spaces, they're on Twitch, they're online, they're on YouTube. And so we as a party, but more importantly as a country, have to realize that we're getting information differently. And not only that, there is a ton of disinformation that is happening both on the domestic front and from foreign actors, quite honestly, that are also they're disrupting the way people get information. So we have to look at all of that and recognize that we've got to move forward in a better way.
Are you hearing from others in the Democratic Party, like, talking differently right now, given the election loss?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think what you're hearing is that we've got to do a better job of communicating what Democrats stand for and ensuring that people understand that we are not the party that's going to cut taxes for billionaires. You're already seeing what's happening right now, in our opinion, as it relates to some of these huge changes that are going to happen to the federal government. People are going to lose jobs, federal services. They want to eliminate the Department of Education. Do you know what that does for young people and families that have kids with disabilities? I mean, there is a huge impact that will happen. We've got to do a better job of communicating that. And we've got to be in the spaces where people are consuming information.
We are doing a little looking back and looking forward with Democratic Congressman Robert Garcia. He will stick with us to finish out today's Countdown 2024 next.
This is Countdown 2024
on KNX News 97.1 FM.
Welcome back to the Thanksgiving week Monday edition of Countdown 2024. Along with Margaret Carrero, I'm Charles Feldman.
Long Beach Congressman Robert Garcia remains with us on Countdown 2024 as we discuss the next steps for the Democratic Party.
Let me back up a little bit, Congressman, because you mentioned before that in the limited time, Kamala Harris ran a good campaign. But let me challenge that, because I still remember the criticism that she was getting for not sitting down and doing really good interviews, the criticism that her answers sounded as if they were sort of pre-planned and on script, the criticism that she wasn't really reaching out to the people they needed to be reached out to and didn't come across as somebody they could relate to. That doesn't, to me, sound like running a great campaign.
Well, I think she ran a good campaign for having 100 days to do it. And she ended up in the last, and if you look at that last month, she was all over the place as it relates to being out in the media. Look, at the end of the day, She lost the campaign, and as Democrats, we lost. And we have to recognize that fact and accept it and improve and get better. So I think we all understand that. But we also need to focus on pushing back when we disagree. And this idea, for example, what's happening now, that we're going to give over our health department, and we're going to give over all of our work around pandemic prevention to folks that don't even believe in vaccines, I think is kind of crazy. I think it's something that we've got to address. And so Democrats will work together when we can on issues that are bipartisan, but we've also got to fight and push back on issues that we disagree. And I think those things are going to both be important.
And so the election is over. That's now in the past. Moving forward, as a Democratic member of Congress, what does resistance look like under a Trump administration, a second one?
Look, I think first, Democrats and our leadership is interested in working together where there's areas of possibility. There's no question. If there's going to be, when we try to work together, for example, on issues around border security, of course, that was shut down. We tried to get middle class tax cuts for folks in the middle class, working class families. Those are areas where there could be some bipartisan support. But I also think we should be clear that if Donald Trump's administration tries to, for example, remove and cause damage to Medicare or the Social Security system, we're going to oppose that. If Donald Trump tries to shut down the Department of Education that supports especially young people that might have an additional learning need, or that supports teachers and facilities across those classrooms that kids are learning in good environments, we're going to oppose that. We're going to impose, if they try to roll back the Affordable Care Act, or Obamacare, as we know it. People are covered in a much larger way than ever before. So those are areas that I think it's important that Democrats oppose if there are things that are going to impact middle-class families and working-class families across this country. So again, if there's bipartisanship to be had, great. But we have to stand up for people and ensure that this doesn't happen, and people that aren't impacted in a really damaging way.
Long Beach Congressman Robert Garcia, thank you so much for joining us, and have a very happy Thanksgiving.
You as well. Thank you.
Coming up on Tuesday's Countdown 2024, friends and family who have spent a decade arguing about Donald Trump will once again have to stare down some potentially uncomfortable holiday dinners and parties where politics will be tough to avoid. We'll talk with a psychologist for some advice and some people who are going through it, politics, family, and the holidays, all on tomorrow's Countdown 2024. And if you missed the show, catch up on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. All you have to do, search Countdown 2024 and follow the show.